Welcome to the Daytime Confidential podcast, brought to you by DaytimeConfidential.com. On today's show, Brooke breaks down on B&B, there's a threesome on Days, Esme's pregnant on GH, and Nate comes clean on Y&R. Stay tuned. Jillian Bowe, welcome.
Oh, shit. Hello.
Joshua Baldwin, welcome.
Hello.
And Melody Akles, welcome.
Hey, hey.
Before we get to what happened on screen, let's talk a little bit about what took place off screen while we were gone, and last week's episode was a top five. James Hyde is joining The Young and the Restless. The former Passion star is joining in the role of Jeremy Stark. There will be a connection to Diane Jenkins. And Josh, I know that you and I have sort of joked about this before, but apparently they were able to find someone with as good of a jawline as Trevor St. John to also join the show, because with that official photo, I was like, these two men look like they could be brothers if you like put them side by side in photos.
Ooh, and there's a fine wine aging. I mean, he looks stunning in those in the picture they had. I'm curious.
You all need a towel.
And we'll just put it this way: after all those years of him being in flannel and the police uniform, boy, who knew he cleaned up so well?
He really does.
Y'all need a moment? Y'all just seem hot and bothered, Joe.
In other news, B&B's Allie Mills is going to be heading to Port Charles General Hospital. She's going to be playing a mystery character. There's a lot of mysteries going on, so wouldn't it be something if the woman with the special lemon bars was the hooker? I'm just totally joking on that. Totally joking, because Pam was known to go a little bit nuts. Let's dive into what took place on screen this last week. Josh, there was a threesome on Days.
Yes, there was. And there was an intimacy coach on set. And that was, in the way it could have gone, it really could have been like a way to make Allie and Chanel even more separated, that Alex was sort of more into Chanel or whatever, but they shot it in this way where there was no outlier. It was an equal threesome, equitable across the board. And it was tasteful, and it everything in me said, this is going to be cringy. And it wasn't. It was beautifully shot. I thought they were all very cute together. And I loved the very end when Alex went to go get some water so they could hydrate his queens for round two. Mm-hmm. And Chanel and Allie look at each other and they affirm that they still love each other and that they had a really good time. And I thought that was great. Also juxtaposed against the fact that while that threesome was going on, Paulina was being blackmailed by Sloan about something Chanel did when she was in college. So that was a really good juxtaposition,
fresh
too.
Fresh ass doing college, girl. What's your fresh ass doing college?
Jillian, what did you think of the threesome?
You know, I didn't have a problem with the threesome. You know, I saw online, let's talk about the bad. I saw online, you know, you had some people, oh my God, my grandmother is just appalled, or my grandmother would have been appalled. I'm like, grow up. Your grandma needs to grow up, because I know your grandma back in the day was probably dipping and doing back in the day. She was probably busting it wide open for your grandpappy. That's why you're here. That's why you and your mammy and daddy or whoever are here. I'm like, grow up. Some people are just like, this is just so provocative. I'm like, you act as though that these people showed ass and boobs. I'm like, calm yourself. Because remember, this was supposed to be done on TV.
NBC.
Yes, this was for the
broadcast.
Network.
This was for broadcast. This was not for streaming. So, you know, we all know Days is shot 4 years in advance. So it's like, calm down. I didn't mind it. I thought it was kind of, it was tastefully done. All parties seemed to be enjoying themselves. It wasn't gratuitous. It wasn't, you know, I thought that, you know, when I heard about it, I was like, oh, is this going to be trash? You know, I'm like, Ron, are you going to make this so ridiculous? Like, hello. But it was done tastefully. So I didn't mind it. We're this is the, we're in the 21st century, aren't we? We are, mm-hmm. right? Yeah, mm-hmm. we are. We and are, right?
Just, and it wasn't just white folks. There was a young woman of color in there, too. And I was like, yes.
You don't never get to do nothing sizzling. We always got to be, you know, Chanel, I told you not to do that, girl, and clutching our pearls. I was glad that this was happening. And to see uptight Allie Horton doing this, I was like, oh, wow. This was, I liked it. I didn't mind it at all.
Allie got in there.
More ways than one.
Mel, I know that you don't normally watch Days. Was the threesome enough to get you to tune in?
I did. I mean, if there's a threesome on daytime, of course I'm going to watch it. So I did. I sat down. I watched it. And I agree with everyone else. It was really well done. And I love that it was, there wasn't any of that, oh, you know, the longing looks or those, oh, I enjoyed this more than the other person does, somebody feeling left out. It wasn't none of that. And I really appreciated that it was just three adults enjoying themselves. And I was like, okay, I like this. I'm here for this. More of this in daytime. And I didn't, so y'all know I don't watch Days like this, so I didn't realize Alex had all that underneath his clothes, and I appreciated it a lot.
Yeah.
So it was good. I really didn't mind it. I had no problem with the way it was done.
Jillian, for people who might be like, my grandmother would be appalled, technically it wasn't a threesome, but there was a fantasy with JR, Jamie, and Babe back in the day on All My Children, where all three of them were in the same bed. Now, it wasn't an actual sex scene. It was they wake up in with the three of them in bed. So
why
it's
being brought up?
Because I'm saying, like, this is not something that, like, we've already had the precursor or the lead up or the foundation laid for this. So it's,
they've always done something in daytime where, in, you know, someone has a dream and, you know, you see one person, then you see the other, then another person. They've always done that. So I'm like, unless you were going somewhere, like it was like a threesome really done. No, like but people just were tripping about it being shown on daytime television. And I'm like, we have to catch up with the times. All of these shows need to get into it and keep up with modern times. Now, I'm not saying to just be very...
Be very specific.
Yes, because you know how these people go. They'll be like, well, you said, I'm not saying for y'all to have some dungeon and puppies, and I'm not saying do all of that shit. This is what people do in the privacy of their own homes. They're just getting into it. Like, it's two young people. They're not married. And even if they were, who cares? Like people need to get with the times.
Everything was above board. They had a conversation about it beforehand. There was no pressure of one of the other into doing it.
What I loved, nobody was drunk. You can't say, I was drunk, too. I was drunk. I was so glad that didn't happen, because, you know, that's how...
That's how things happen on B&B a lot. Let's switch topics a little bit. Kate, Marlena, Kayla are all deteriorating very fast. But of course, Kristen has the cure, and she's going to do everything in her power to get the relationship with Brady and her daughter back that she's wanted, and knock Chloe to the curb. Josh, what did you think? Because of course Brady's going to go in if it means saving those three women, or give in if it means saving those three women.
I think it's well constructed, and it actually, to me, you know, I obviously love Days, but like I didn't think the custody hearing, I thought it was not great. I thought it was kind of a dud, but even as a dud, I now understand it better, because it's the precursor to this orchid thing that Kristen is going to use to blackmail Brady. And he's going to, looks like, leave Chloe and go back with Kristen, which is an umbrella, because Stefan is pursuing Chloe. And if she's not with Brady, that's going to...
Yeah, it's an umbrella, all right.
It's an umbrella.
It's an outrageous umbrella.
It's an outrageous umbrella.
Got orchids, gypsies, tramps, and
bees. That orchid is 25 years old. That's what, I mean, that's the exact storyline.
I mean, I'm getting a little, like, look, y'all know I rides with Days. You know, I think Ron is a good writer, but I'm just like, sir, this seems like wash, rinse, and repeat. Like, he goes into the archives and just jazzes up something new. I just want jazzes up to be new. Kind of want something new and fresh. I kind of want Kristen to, like, I'm not asking for Kristen to go cold turkey and be a good person. You doing all this for goofy ass Brady? Like, I just think, what type of self-respect do you have, sis?
None.
Like,
he must lay some pipe for her to have been obsessed with him for all these years like this.
For her to just be like, you know what? Fuck you, Brady. Fuck you. Fuck fucking you. Just to do, if they ain't doing the orchid, you're doing the brainwashing and, you know, getting rid of Stefan's memory of Gabby. It's kind of like, ugh. I mean, it could be a mask, you know. You know how Ron do it. Could be a mask. Oh, Jesus. Whoop, shit. Now I just spoke it into existence.
Be very specific, Jillian. Be very specific. No masks.
No. I just want him to stop. Yes, you know, people will say this is Days. You know what? I'm not going for that excuse anymore. I'm not saying for him to shift and have corporate storylines like Y&R and, you know, fashion offs like Bold.
Can we not have him like Y&R?
I don't think we need to compare to B&B and Y&R.
I don't want him to do that, but I'm just like, there's so many things out there that you could do. Like, can you tone it down with the over the top? I'm just like,
I don't know how to put this exactly, because I mean, Josh is right. This is something that harkens back to a story that's 25 mm-hmm. years old. I just sort of wish that instead of playing the beats of a 25-year-old story, it was maybe a new story where there was something from 25 years ago that was a small part, not the driving force.
Yeah.
I mean, if that makes sense. I don't know if that's possible, but like, I appreciate Ron's attention to history and trying to do it. I just wish that it didn't sometimes feel like it was beat for beat the old story. I wish it was a new story where there were nods or little Easter eggs that the fans could love, as opposed to it being so overwhelmingly orchid, orchid, orchid.
That's hear you with that. My issue, and this is, it's weird to compare it like this, but when we're getting retcons on the daily on Bold and the Beautiful, and don't even get me started with General Hospital, it's just nice to see somebody who actually looks in the history books and doesn't just make shit up and say, yeah, that happened. Y'all didn't see that right.
But there's a way that you can finesse things.
I agree. I agree with you.
So, no, Ron don't get a pass neither. I'm sorry, sir. I am revoking your pass.
Well, speaking of revoking passes, yeah. Jillian, before the podcast, you were like, I have a soliloquy for you.
I did not say that.
On B&B and Y&R.
No, I didn't.
You said you had a rant.
Don't be putting words in my mouth, Matt. I told you about doing that shit now. I have issues with them CBS shows.
Oof.
Over at Bold.
Preach.
Say it.
See, I ain't even said nothing yet. Y'all already know.
Is that how you already know from the side?
Okay, you know what? I think me and Mel on the same wave. Well, yeah, we were. I'm over Brooke fucking Logan crying over Ridge's flip-flopping ass. I'm over Taylor taking scraps. Taylor, both fan bases should be a little bit like, ladies, no. Taylor, you're a default. You're taking up, you the cleanup woman. Betty Wright sung about your ass. You are the cleanup woman, sis. You would want better for your life. You taking scraps. You're second best. And I think it's so friggin' ironic that they have Katie talking to Bill about, you know, you love me, but would you be here with me if Brooke was free? Katie is like, I ain't trying to be second best, so deuces. I wanted Taylor to do that. The fact that Taylor's just like, no, you're all gleefully happy that you're getting something. Look, I get that Torsten and Krista Allen have chemistry. There's so many different ways that this could have been played out. And I hate that they do this thing now. Ridge is mad at Brooke, but doesn't say why. I'm here with my family. You just didn't understand, Logan. It's over. And she's just like, what? What the fuck I do? What's happening? Why won't you tell her what she did? Why? It's just stupid. It's ridiculous. And then soon, they drop in all these, just raining anvils. They're not settled. They have friggin' Katie telling Bill, you know, for 2 years he's been baby, please. And she's like, no, it's over, done. He gets a call from Othello out of the blue. Girl, let me tell you, Bill, Chow, Brooke flying back. Is this what happened to her? And okay, I'm on my. This is just so sophomoric. And it's just, I just feel like this writing regime tries to make us look like we're stupid and we can't handle complexities. And that's what this show never used to be like. You know, Luke always says, well, this is always how bold is. No, you ain't been there like from the beginning and watched on up till now how great they were with storytelling. I just don't understand where the laziness comes from. They have a plethora of history that they're just like, ooh, history! Because I'm just like, is Shelley over there? Shelley Altman was the one who was like, no, history! Why are you afraid to delve into history? I just really, like, I'm not looking for them to be anti-man Brooke and Taylor. I just would have wanted Brooke to just tell Taylor, or Taylor said, they say it at the both time, or Taylor says, you know what, Ridge, I'm sick and tired of playing these games with you. We've been on this merry-go-round and it's ruined our family dynamic. It's seeped into our kids, to Brooke and mine's kids, and how they act. It, like, we should have set better examples. Enough. And Steffi out there, I'm like, girl, Brooke really should be a bitch and be messy and have friggin' Hope go fuck your man. Or Brooke should be real messy and fuck your man.
Thank you.
It's quiet as a cat, but whatever.
Steffi is unwatchable. She is so... It's painful how badly this is written. She is unwatchable. Child, she and Thomas and the mustache twirling.
Here, she would be like, how dare you? Because she loves us some Steffi.
Those Maroney siblings are mustache twirling. Thomas sitting there, wah ha ha ha. My 5-year-old son that I tortured that we're never going to recall or remember gave me an app that made all of this possible. Wah ha ha ha. Fuck me. It's terrible.
It's not. What is it?
Terrible.
There you go.
Mel, you also said before the podcast that you had a little bit of a rant regarding B&B. What were your thoughts on it this week?
I'm so sick of this show. It's a shit show. It's so bad. Because, and a lot of what Jillian is saying is that if you have watched this show, you know, from the 90s on, from its inception, mm-hmm. This is not The Bold and the Beautiful. Because we are making up shit. I'm so tired of Steffi and Thomas sitting up here saying, oh, Brooke destroyed our family and we gotta destroy her. Brooke didn't do that. Brooke has done some despicable things on this show, but she never did that. She never broke up their family. So I don't know why they keep saying that. I'm also disgusted that this show went all the way to Aspen. And for what? To have Taylor literally running through the mountain. Why? It's mountains here in LA if that's what we were going to do. I don't understand. What was the purpose? You have all this beautiful scenery. You're in Aspen. And remember when Soaps went on location and it was a reason to go on location. We featured the location. That's not what's happening here. We just doing stuff just to do it. I don't understand. And Taylor, who is supposed to be this licensed psychiatrist and, you know, oh, I'm so smart, so on and so forth. I don't understand how on Tuesday you said, I'm choosing myself. And by Friday, you talking about, oh, what took you so long, Ridge? What? What is that?
Her license need to be revoked.
Oh, absolutely.
If anybody told me, you know, this is mandatory. You either get jail time or you have to see Dr. Hayes. And I'd be like, ooh, Isaac Hayes, that's a joke. No, Dr. Taylor Hayes. Bitch, how much jail time we talking?
I'll do my time.
Let me see, because I could do that. If it's at Club Fed, I could do that. I could roll with that. If it's at Rikers, I'll roll the dice. You know, I'm like, I'll roll the dice with that for real. I'm like, but this is a bad example. It's just so plop, 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 blah, 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 blah.
Running with her tail between her legs? Since when Brooke do that? What is this?
You know? Brooke would have demanded, Ridge, you need to tell me what's going on. And then letting Steffi talk to her like that, I'm just, I don't understand. It's just so bad. I really want, you know, I'm just really hoping that Hope will say something and do something. Like when she finds out, you know, when Ridge comes to get his shit, Brooke tells him, you know, Hope tells him, thank you. For what? I'm so glad that you got out of my mom's life because you have just been nothing but a cancer that she needed to cut the fuck out. I just want, you know, Rick used to be the one to tell that shit.
Well, he hasn't been around for a while.
See, he done fucked that up, but they need to recast it. You fucked that up, being, you know, you won't write a check that your ass can't cash.
Well, technically there's a Rick available.
Who?
You don't put Kyle Louder back over there.
No, child. No.
I'm just saying there's one available.
No, we're telling you, like Effie White. No, like Justin Torkelson. I've seen him. He looks pretty good. You can bring him back if y'all want to. Y'all could do Billy Miller, and that
Billy
would
Miller.
Be kind, that would be kind of be cool because you have him and Torsten. You come on now. Like Rick used to be the one to bring that. To bribe that point home. It's just so, I don't understand like why they don't want, Brad has a great writing team. Let me not shit on them like it all together. He has a fantastic writing team. Brad actually is a badass writer. It's just that now you just really trying to make the audience think that we don't remember things. Like I used to joke when I said Bob Guza used to do like it never happened when Megan McTavish ran amok on GH for that
year.
You're
not supposed to remember that.
Yeah. Guza was like, it never happened. But it never happened, I say. Cool. I was, you know, I would joke and say soaps should take a page from that. I did not mean it literally. I promise. I really need to be clear in my prayers. I just want more drama, more oomph. You have Ted
that King. Actually takes into account history,
right? You have Ted King there. Maybe Brooke can move on with him
and
or
more
something.
Stories. We've been telling the same story for 3 months.
Yes,
like
yes, it's just, you know, we're telling the same stories. Mel C, you made a good point. See, girl, we're telling the same stories for three four months, and then, but no, we've been telling the same stories all year because it used to be Steffi, Liam, Hope. Mm-hmm. And then after that burns out, they transferred over to the mothership of Brooke, Ridge, Taylor. They just flip them. It's just the same story. It's, you know, what's that Whitney Houston song? Same script, different cast. That's what this is right here. And I'm over it. Stop being lazy.
Mel, do you feel the same about The Young and the Restless as you do about The Bold and the Beautiful?
I'm not as angry at The Young and the Restless because...
On a scale of 1 to 10, where 10 is B&B and Y&R is what?
8? 7.5.
Okay.
Eight, yeah, 7.5. Because I can see glimmers of things happening. I love Trevor St. John as Tucker McCall. That has a lot of potential. Susan Walters is literally everything in life. I like the new girl, Audra. I love all the mess that she is involved in. She was Noah's ex. She working with Tucker McCall. She's setting up Chancellor. That is soapy. I can see glimmers of things happening on Y&R. So it's not all just bullshit where it becomes a task to watch. Like it's The Bold and the Beautiful.
So what did you think of Nate coming clean this week and the fallout from that? And then Elena dumping him on top of it all.
I don't care about Nate and Elena. I could not give two shits about what happens to them. I halfway fell asleep during them scenes. I don't care. That girl who plays Elena is good, and I enjoy her, but they ain't been doing nothing with her. So I'm like, girl, if you got to go, I understand. Like, I'm not even mad at you over that.
She ain't going nowhere.
Well, I'm just saying. I'm not. I would understand. I'd be like, yeah, okay, yeah. I can understand
yeah.
that.
If she's like, basically what you're saying is, if she go, I'd be like, okay, girl, kisses.
I mean, it is what it is. I see you when I see you. Maybe you be back on General Hospital.
No!
No. Oh no, we do not need that on General Hospital.
Did I say that out loud? They sorry. Everybody else a job. Okay. As for the fallout with him telling part of the truth, because he still didn't tell all of the truth to Devon and Lily. Okay, I understand you decided to come clean because you was trying to save your relationship, this, that, and the third. But I just, you only told most of it. You didn't tell all of it. You said, oh, I've been working with a CEO to, you know, set up chance of winning. So
there's only three, so how many can it be, really?
And now Devon is running around town trying to figure out, oh, who is it? Who is it going to be? Well, if you're going to tell the truth, you should have just told all of it.
Well, and why is Devon so stupid as to think it's Tucker? If anything happens in Genoa City, the first place you look is the Newmans.
No, I get it, because they're going public. Audra comes out of nowhere and Nate is like secretly talking to her. And then Tucker comes out of nowhere. We're like, why are you here? I'm trying to make amends. Bullshit. What you doing here? And Tucker keeps grilling him about Chancellor Winter. I get that. I totally get it. Because if I had some relative that came out of nowhere where I'm about to pop off. Hey, girl, what the fuck you doing here? What you want? Why? Who, what? I'm grilling you like a grilled cheese sandwich. I get it.
Jillian already has an official list of people who she will and won't help should she ever win the lottery.
Listen, I win the lottery. Nobody will know. Nobody.
Y'all, that depends on the state you win it in, though.
No? Okay. Mm-mm. Oh, yeah. Fuck. Yeah, it does.
The press don't get a hold of
it. No, but I got a plan for that anyways. Okay. But I get Devon being like, who, what, where. I saw why Nate didn't throw Victoria under the bus. Because, spoiler alert, he's going to go over to Newman. Like, you know, girl, I did you a solid and not air you out. I don't think he says it like that or says it like, or even ventures like that. But if you think of it long range, he didn't air Victoria out. He could have, which meant Victoria would have been complicit in an almost insider trading deal. And her ass would have been fucked over by the SEC. So,
and Victor had mentioned that.
Right. Mm-hmm. So I could see him saying, look, I didn't throw you over the bus. So you owe me, sister friend. You owe me. You and your family owe me. But there's so many variables at play. Because Nikki knows what's going on. She knows that Audra is connected to Tucker. So she could blow Tucker out the water. Nick knows what's going on. So it's a lot of variables at play. I thought it was going to be a little bit more soapier. I really was hoping that it went through and somehow Victoria got screwed, like, just of when it was
there's
about.
There's still time.
No, but she, like, he already told. He already, like, they don't know who the CEO is. He won't say, so they get it. But, you know, I wanted it to be a little bit more soapy. I wanted it to be, you know, you're writing a soap opera, but they seem to hate that word, soap. You know, I wanted it to be where somehow they found out what Victoria did and they screw her over. Like, Devon, Josh, I don't think Josh likes Devon as a character. That's just me, because some of the shit he has said in the press. Remember when he came on and he was just like, I thought it was weird that Catherine gave him all of her money. I'm like, why? That's her grandchild. Why wouldn't she? Stupid.
He's almost unwatchable. I just feel like he doesn't like the character
because Devon was raised by Neil. So he has some of Neil's experience with business. He interned with the Newmans. So he learned under Victor's feet. Catherine was his big mama. So he should have
some well, he should stay away from booze, knowing that because of how his grandmother used to be. But
now that would be a good storyline.
Yes. But Catherine was his big mama, so he should have some business instincts. And Tucker is his bio. Devon should be a fucking cutthroat tycoon. Instead, he just seems so green.
Don't you think that that is a refrain that we've been saying for the better part of a decade? Devon should be like at one point it was Devon should be a playboy billionaire. At another point, it's Devon should be cutthroat. I mean, it just feels like for the longest time on this podcast, regardless of the writing regime, it is Devon should be, and it's never what anyone wants.
I feel as though these writers are afraid to go there with certain characters. Like, you know, we always say don't write them out of character. But with all the shit that, with all those pedigrees rolled up into one with Devon, you should play those beats. He should be cutthroat. He should have found out. Somehow Audra tips him off about, she hears and she tips him off and tells him, I don't know what you want to do, boss, but I overheard Nate talking to Victoria. They're trying to take over the company. And he'd be like, what? Like, what? Well, you think Devon's not going to, hold on, you think Devon's not going to do nothing? But Devon sets a trap to fuck not only Nate over again, hey, hands, you know, they mentioned his hands this week, and also to screw Victoria over too and to teach her a lesson and be like, I thought we were cool. We grew up like family. I was tutored and raised under you, Newmans. I learned from you. So I'm only taking a page from your book.
Well, like, and not only that, but we're missing the element of when Billy finds out that his ex-wife and the mother of his children is coming for the company that he's involved in, there's an element of that that's also missing out. Josh, what did you think of
Billy don't care about their company.
Yeah, Billy don't care.
He don't care.
I agree with everything that's been said so far. First of all, it's just a dud. Devon should be, and all he is constipated and miserable. It's almost unwatchable, and it's not Brighton's fault.
It's not
writing him. I actually think I agree with you. There's drama they're not taking. Like, Audra should go ahead and file the form and be working for, you know, was working with Tucker on the sly, or working with somebody on the sly, or even the Devon thing. It'd be cool if Devon and Audra paired up, and Devon could fuck everybody over, including Lily, who killed Hillary.
And it would be funny if Devon was messing with her and she told him what Tucker was doing and he ends up pulling a Tucker on Tucker.
Yes. All that would be good, but we know that. I mean, I feel like we're starting to talk about Young and the Restless the way we always talk about Bold and the Beautiful, which is we do wishful storytelling because we don't like what's going on screen. And it doesn't ever happen. I just don't know. They seem like they're okay. A plus B, it equals C, y'all. Nah, we're going to choose Z. What? Yeah. I don't. It doesn't make any sense. And Billy, when Nate is admitting to everything, and Billy's self-righteous ass is just, and I'm just like, shut up and go podcast.
No, I didn't mind that with Billy. I didn't mind that with Billy because once again, Lily was like, I can't believe you did this. She did not seem mad at all. Like, she just seemed like, oh wow, I can't believe he did that. Devon was like mad, but Billy was the only one like saying some shit. I wanted that to come out of Lily's mouth. We're family and you're doing this to us? Billy, I liked when Billy was like, my mama trusted Joe ass. I was like, say it again. Your mother did trust him. See, you're doing this to Catherine. Like,
I think that my issue is, though, I think you've hit on my issue, which is the words were coming out of the wrong person's mouth.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then the sort of retconning of and destroying what Catherine Chancellor built. Catherine Chancellor didn't build this company.
Look, we just gonna leave that alone because they've just
done. Catherine was busy drinking. Okay?
You know, Mitchell Sherman, the company that Mitchell Sherman created. You know, shout out to
Mitchell. But then they had Nikki remind us of how great of a businesswoman Catherine was this last week as well.
I mean,
because,
Catherine,
of course, her investigation into Tucker and Phyllis is progressing, and her conspiring with Phyllis and Ashley is happening. What did you guys think of that? Jillian, you first.
I think Ashley needs to stop being soft, though. Like, I want Ashley to be cutthroat, too. Nick, I like the three bitches of Genoa City coming together and being like, we have a greater good. And you see, this is why I keep trying to tell you, don't sleep on women, because we are some badass investigators. Nikki came with that tea and was like, boom. And the only...
My problem with it is they're doing it in public. Like, if you're conspiring to take someone down and you're known for not being friends, why are you having regular meetups in a very public space?
I mean, you know what? It can all be answered with, what's the child's name is? Summer is my grandchild. Summer is Phyllis's child. Kyle is her nephew. So that's what they're talking about.
They should be meeting in that horrible basement that right. Called the club. Right. Ain't nobody going there.
Mm. Oh, that was such an ugly club.
It's awful. It makes me miss the underground.
Yeah. I know, and it's like, Nick...
No, stop saying these things before they dig them out.
All I'm saying is, this is now the second time Noah has been involved in a terrible-looking club.
And what's your name? Burn that thing to the ground. Jack's mama.
Dina.
When she had the Alzheimer's, didn't she burn the underground to the ground?
I don't know.
She wandered over there and lit it on fire. She knocked over a candle, and it all burned down, I think.
I don't know. I can't remember. Child,
we try to forget about some things, yeah. Josh. Yeah.
I know it. I can't help it.
I mean, I don't mind the women plotting, but you're right. Like, if you're trying to do the element of surprise, stop telling the tea. Like, when Ashley confessed all to Jack. See, this is the part that I don't like. Jack is acting like a dumbass. That's number one. And number two, Jack is like, you are trying to ruin a woman who ruins a woman's life. I'm like, sir, she almost sent Nikki to jail. Nikki should be mad. So fuck that.
What would have been actually a better story is if all this time while those three women are working on it, what would have been hilarious is if Tracy was the one who actually got the goods. And then the other three are like, what the fuck? How did Tracy get the goods? And it'd be one of those stories where, like, Tracy, in her very kind, wonderful way, has also been internally upset about the fact that Diana's back and messing with Jack, and she's the one who does it. I just feel like there's got to be some other twist.
No, not a kind way, because Tracy, I mean, a while ago, Tracy, like, was like, she ripped into Jack and was like, the hell is wrong with you, grinning up in this bitch's face. It would be cool if they did, if Tracy heard some of the things, and Tracy was the wild card. Not in her kind way. Tracy was just sitting on the goods.
Well, that's what I mean. What I'm saying in her kind way is everybody perceives her to be this kind person, but she's also the person who's in the room for a lot of conversations, so she can be putting things together because no one notices her. Sort of like on Bridgerton with the character who's penning all the scandalous stuff. She could be the person to put it together.
Over the last few weeks, Tracy's been the bone collector. She's been sitting there in that chair in the Abbott Mansion, and Ashley and Allie and all these people keep coming in and telling her tea, and I'm like, she is collecting bones. She's about to be Sheree Whitfield from Atlanta.
Child. I wish they would have her start, like, a blog or start something of where she is releasing all the tea in Genoa City.
Well, she's writing a new mystery novel.
Tracy. No one. She's a writer. Let's use that.
Yep.
She could be the Mrs. Whistledown of Genoa City.
Yep. And no one
would
suspect.
I just wanted to say that so bad, but that's pretty much sad just now. But okay, that's what you said.
I couldn't remember the Whistledown name, so I had to bring it back up once I remembered. let's talk a little bit about General Hospital. Esme is pregnant. She's not using a bodysuit because Nick checked. And then he locked her in a room. Nicholas checked. And then he locked her in one of the Spoon Island rooms. Josh, yeah. I know that I'm loving Nick, Esme, Eva storylines. What did you think?
I think Esme was missing. I liked her, I mean, literally and figuratively speaking. I think that she being back is good. Her not being the killer, thank God they didn't go that route. Maybe she is a killer, but I don't think her pregnant ass been doing that.
No, she couldn't have done that.
No, but I like the idea that she's pregnant. I like the idea that we really don't know whether this is Spencer or Nicholas's baby.
Well, she claims that it isn't because her and Spence hasn't had sex in like forever.
That's true.
Well, that's true, and we would have saw that. Potentially.
But no, you say that. But General Hospital likes to do that thing where they show us stuff.
She don't know if she's pregnant for the daddy or
no,
the
no, 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 nope. See, this is where they're messing it up. She does know that she's pregnant for Nicholas. She said to Nicholas when he was like, "That ain't mine." She was like, "The only other person would have been Spencer, and we haven't had sex in months."
Okay.
If she's telling the truth, yeah, then I'm with it.
Because knowing Esme, she said somebody, some kind soul took her in. I'm like, girl, did you throw it on the kind soul? Is
did
that
she not thing? Have sex with that bartender?
No, she drugged him.
Okay. But I like, either way, I like her being back. I do not like at all. I know you love the Nicholas Esme Ava stuff, and I like it. Nicholas is such the weak point to me because he's just not Nicholas. He is some character formerly known as Nicholas. So
yeah, he's stupid because you know her saying to him, "Oh, you have to get me free because our baby." Remember now, Soaps used to go there. Soaps would be like, "Fuck that shit." When we will just have you thrown in jail and then I will get custody of the baby. So you ain't got no trump card on me, sis. The trump card would have been if Ava didn't know that Nicholas slept with her and she was pregnant. So that would.
And they ruined that one because they used it already.
To me, the more interesting triangle is Ava, Trina, and Esme. That's where I'm interested in where this goes. Because once Ava and Trina figure out that Esme's there, I like Ava and Trina. I know as they're not, it's apples and oranges, but I just don't care about Ava and Nicholas. For me, at this point, once Ava found out that he slept with Esme, she should never go near him again. I don't have any, I got nothing for that couple anymore. He was a sniveling weasel and then tried to blame Ava for Spencer finding out. So nope. But Ava and Trina, yes. I want them to conspire together.
I actually want Ava to get all the Cass and I money from him.
Yes.
That's what I want. I want for Ava to secretly find out about that baby, she'd take a picture of that girl and she'd tell Scott, file the papers. I'm done. Are you sure? File it now. And this is how I want you to drop them papers on his ass. And that's what happens. I thought Nicholas locking her in there. I'm like, are you going to call the cops and then have them pick her up? Because she keeps saying that this baby is might get out of free jail, you know, get out of jail free card. But we all know Soaps would have been like, okay, you're pregnant. And, you know, she gloats and wait until Ava finds out. Bitch, Ava knows. Next.
Now, I wouldn't
Spencer
mind him
knows
having
too. Next.
Yeah.
And she says, well, you're not going to let me be behind bars. You're not going to be able to raise that kid behind bars, Toots. So I'm going to automatically get custody. So I'm holding all the cards here.
She should go to Papa Victor because Victor would care about a Cassadine heir.
Yeah, Victor would probably like befriend her on the sneak tip, but get like her them hiding her. I don't get that unless you're going to send her to jail and then you get custody of that baby. I'm like, she does not have the cards. She's not holding the cards unless she can prove that Ava shoved her off the balcony. Then that's one thing. I could see if she said it was all recorded on my phone or something like that. Like, you know, somehow we missed during their fight scene that she had her phone on her and it was recording and you hear Ava push her and all that other good stuff. And she's like, well, I'm able to nail Ava, but this baby, I'm like,
see, the other thing,
let her raise this kid.
The other thing about the baby is considering how long she's been gone. In the back of my head, when she's doing it pregnant, what are the odds that the fisherman or whoever it was that saved her is someone that she slept with and she got pregnant by that person and then is using the baby to trap Nick? Like, in my mind, I'm thinking, when are we going to see the fisherman show up in Port Charles 6 months from now? Because that, to me, would be the logical way to take the storyline. If it's not Nick's child, it's not going to be Spencer's.
I don't know who Nick is.
Nicholas. If it's not Nicholas's child, then I mean, what about the fisherman? Because it's entirely possible that she could have manipulated the fisherman into giving her like the money to even be able to get to town.
That's what I said earlier. Yeah, that could be. That's what I literally said earlier. It probably, see, again, they're making Nicholas stupid. Nicholas was never stupid. Like, he had Laura's heart, but he also had the Cassadine brain. So Nicholas would have demanded a DNA test. Esme is still Esme. She's trying to call his bluff, but he gets a DNA test or something like that.
Well, it's almost as if, and this is going to be a terrible joke, but it's almost as if the more male Cassadines we get in Port Charles, the fewer brains Nicholas has, as if they're using the brains that Nicholas should be having to in Valentine, in Victor. Because ever since they've arrived, they've just written Nicholas so out of character and so stupid.
I think it's because, you know what? I'm just going to call it out. I think they're writing towards the actor's strengths. I feel as though, look at Y&R. That's what these writers do these days. With Victoria, they write to Amelia Hindley's strengths because they don't feel as though she can pull it out. I feel as though they're doing that with this one also. They don't feel like he could pull it out, so they're dumbing down the character.
But is that writing to strengths or is that writing to weaknesses?
I feel as though it's a disservice to them.
Absolutely.
Yeah, like, give it to them. Like, if you gave him see, this would be something if they gave him the material and we saw, yeah, it ain't working out. But you're just dumbing the character down either to his strengths or because of because of what your vision is that you want to see happen on the outcome. Like, just give us some good tea. I mean, listen. That's just my gripe with it, is that you have Nicholas stupid, but Nicholas has the upper hand with Esme. Nobody else knows that Nicholas slept with her. The only important people know that he slept with Esme, Ava and Spencer. So it's going to come out. Like, unless Nicholas is trying to hide the fact that Ava threw her off that balcony and that's why she went missing. But then again, it's your word versus theirs. That could be something that just goes to the grave with them. Nobody believes Esme.
Ava made Nicholas tape that confession.
Yeah.
Right. So it's more than in writing. Speaking of that, though, well, not technically speaking of that, but transitioning on that, Victor was not happy about the written confession. This last week, he figured out that Anna's using Lucy, and he's not happy with Lucy now. What did you guys think of the Anna, Lucy, Valentine, Victor storyline, Josh?
Well, first and foremost, anytime Lynn Herring is on my screen, I'm very happy. I like that she's in the center of a storyline. She in trouble.
Yes, she is.
She's in trouble. Victor gonna call her to
and that
ship.
Is the best place where Lucy should be.
Yes, Lucy in peril.
Yes. And then Felicia, your guys' favorite character, could come in and save her.
Oh, girl, yeah, please do it like she did with Peter. Please come down. And, oh, God, help me. Can she just not? Okay. Jesus.
I knew that would sidetrack you.
Lucy's in trouble. Victor can call her down to that boat for a date. And Lucy's not going to understand what's going on until she's in the middle of the trouble. It's good stuff. It's good stuff. I have no idea. My only issue is Charles Shaughnessy. And it's not really Charles Shaughnessy. It's Victor. It's because Charles Shaughnessy was ill for a while and they didn't have Victor on canvas. So I still don't really feel like I know what the hell's going on with Victor. He keeps talking about.
They haven't explained. That's the one thing that about Victor's storyline is they have been saying for so long that something bad is going to happen. And at some point, who cares?
Doom, darling.
We're very close to at this point, no one cares.
Yeah, I don't care.
Jillian, final thoughts?
My final thoughts are for CBS. Look, I'm not trying to be a bitch about your shows, but you both shows have great writers on their staff. Just utilize them and try to make drama, try to make the mystery, intrigue, and romance happen. You don't have to be scared to make it happen and for Bold especially, stop recycling things. Like, let your women flourish without having to retell the stories and to utilize the rich history that you have.
Josh, final thought?
My final thought is back to the threesome. I wanted to give a shout out to Liz Lemura, who was the intimacy coordinator who worked with Lindsay Arnold, Raven Bowens, and Robert Scott Wilson on that, on those scenes. It was really well shot, really well choreographed, really well done. And I had just happened to find her name and I wanted to pay a little tribute to her. She did a really, really good job.
Why? Okay. Are you trying to tell us something, Joshua?
Mel, final thought.
As bad as the Bold and Beautiful is, there is one praise I have to give because I got to give it up where it's due, and that is Krista Allen.
Yes.
Miss Mama earned her nomination for the Turn Shit to Sugar Award. I would just like to say that.
And on that note, we'd encourage you to comment on this episode at daytimeconfidential.com. Follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/DC Confidential. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/DC Confidential. You can find me on Twitter at Luke_Kerr. Jillian is at Jillian Bo. Josh is at Dr. Joshua9. And Mel is at Melody Ankles. We thank you for listening. Until next time, so long.
Andiamo. Bye, y'all.
Bye, y'all.